I got up yesterday morning in northern Indiana and I looked at my watch and I thought it said 5:30. So I had everything ready to leave, so I jumped in the car and I was pulling out the driveway when I looked and the clock on my car said it was really 4:30. And then it dawned on me it's 3:30 at home. So I didn't get home about 11 yesterday morning and I hadn't prepared anything for today. Because I had two-a-days last week. I had I had six straight days, had days of Sundays. And so I just didn't have time to squeeze it in. So I tried to get home as early as I could yesterday, sat in the office all afternoon. And then before I went to bed last night, I worked on this lesson, and it's in the bulletin on the back page. And then I got a message this morning as I was leaving to come here. And you know how sometimes you just sort of go with your gut? I tell you what I'll do with this lesson that I worked on. I'm going to save it. Just hold it. Bring your bulletin back tonight at 6 o'clock and we'll talk about that. I received a message this morning, and my apologies to those of you who are in Joel Job's class, because it's my understanding he read it, which I appreciated. Nine of our folks, as we all know, those who are visiting do not, but nine of our folks are in Honduras. At their own expense, they have made this trip to help the people there. Using Josh's expertise in dental work, and a couple of our folks are RNs, and others are there to assist and help. But as I was leaving this morning, I got this message from Josh Puckett, and I'd like to read it to you. I'm sorry if y'all have already gotten updates, but this trip thus far has been an overwhelming, positive experience for our entire group. Things have been safe, given our surroundings and appearances. We landed Friday and immediately got to work Friday afternoon. We prepared 100 bags of food, rice, red beans, pasta, sugar, sauce, flour, etc. These bags should have enough food to feed families of 3 to 4 for 7 to 10 days. These food bags are to be delivered Monday, tomorrow, to families, both in the local church here and to others. On Saturday, we traveled 2 hours through the mountains to a community outside of Honduras, which would probably be Nicaragua. Here we set up a dental clinic. We were able to treat everyone who showed up in need of services. We treated a total of 42 patients and extracted an estimated 80 to 100 teeth. Many on children as young as 2 years old. The people are very friendly and appreciative. Our team handed out several of the donated toys to the young parents. The smiles in the pictures that we will send do not do it justice because of the dental stress accompanied. The Honduran team walked the entire community, handing out information about the church. The most humbling, wrenching story from today was that of a family of over 5 with 3 little children who walked over 4 hours to get here. The U.S. director of this effort commented to Doran that he had never seen or experienced any group that hit the ground running and was at full speed anywhere as fast as our team performed today. I think we all know that Mark Job doesn't or can't wait very long at all to start working. Tomorrow, today, we will worship with the local congregation at 8 o'clock in the morning and then begin preparing more food plates. We will prepare 300 food plates to take to the city dump to deliver to possibly as many as 500 people who go there every day searching for food. Once we finish with this effort, we go back to our compound and we'll prepare 900 more plates of food. You know, I read that, and I just thought that sometimes we think how blessed we are. I wish all of us could go to other places in this world and see the poverty and see the hardship and realize how God has blessed us in ways that we can't even count. I know we sing the song, Count Your Blessings, but how do you even begin to do that? And how do we even begin to make a difference in the lives of people, whether here or somewhere else? We can't fix everything. We can't do everything. But then again, ladies and gentlemen, God has never asked us to do everything. He only asks us to do what we can with what we have. Those 9 people need our prayers. We're going to give them today. I ask you to turn your Bible to Luke, the 10th chapter. I thought of this passage. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest who was going down on that road, when he saw him, passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." You know, this whole scene started back in verse 29 when this lawyer asked Jesus a question, trying to justify his inactivity and his lack of response. He simply said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" As if somehow that just relieved him of any responsibility in every situation. And as a result of that, Jesus told this very simple story that resonates with us even today. Because your neighbor can be anybody. Your neighbor can be a physical neighbor that lives in close proximity to you, but your neighbor can be halfway around the world also. It's wherever God places you and the people that God brings to you. Those are our neighbors. It is so easy for us, I think, to be like the priest and the Levite and simply to pass by on the other side. We can put blinders on and we can decide, "I'm not going to see that, because I can't deal with that. It's just safer for me." But that helps no one. At the same time, it is easy for all of us to just feel so overwhelmed with life and the hardships of life that we take a position that says, "I can't fix everything, so I will fix nothing." And that's not a God response either. Paul writes in Galatians 6 and verse 10, and he says, "As you have opportunities, do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith." And when Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Let your light shine among others so that they may see your good works and come to glorify your Father who is in heaven." And in Matthew 19, in verses 13 and 14, I'm reminded of these children who came to Jesus. And it is interesting to me, the disciples rebuked them. Why? Jesus is the Son of God. He's here on a important mission. These children are bothersome. Verse 13, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. One more passage in Colossians, the 4th chapter, in verse 2 and verse 3. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul admonishes them and us to devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert at all times with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. Pray that God may open up a door for the Word. But sometimes God opens up a door for the Word in such situations as we described today in ways that we don't think about. We think about God opening up a door into the hearts of those people. But what about God opening up a door into the hearts of those who went? I will tell you, when you serve in the way they are serving, you will never, ever be the same. Ever. Because it changes who you are. Josh sent a message to Brittany and he said, it is apparent that all nine of us are here for one reason, to bring glory to God. And being here has helped me to realize I haven't always done that. It will change you. Because as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In a weird, backwards kind of way, the giver is the one who receives. May we just take a moment this morning. I hope this is okay. Can we just take a moment this morning and pray for their safety? And pray for their success. And pray that God will open up many doors into the hearts and lives of the people there and into the hearts and lives of those who went there. I'm going to ask four of our brothers to come forward and pray. And I have not worked this out in advance. I'm going to ask Brother Ernest Benjamin if he would come to the microphone and lead a prayer. I'm going to ask Cam Carosa if he would come to the microphone and lead a prayer. I'm going to ask Greg Johnson if he would come to the microphone and lead a prayer. And I'm going to ask Tim Buchanan if he would come to the microphone and lead a prayer for these people who have done what they've done, because they need to know that we are praying for them. Brother Ernest, Brother Cam, Brother Greg, Brother Tim, then we will offer the invitation.
Let us pray. Holy Father, Almighty God who art in heaven, we stand in awe of you. We approach you with the greatest reverence and the greatest respect that we can muster. We come, Father, praying that you will help us to love you. We ask, Father, that you will help us to grow in our love for you more and more each and every day. We pray and ask, Father, that you'll help us to glorify you and lift you up in all that we are and all that we do. We come, Father, at this time praying for our brethren who are in Honduras, asking, Father, that you will guide them and be with them. Praying and asking, Father, that you will give them energy and the heart to serve like Jesus. praying, Father, that through their service they might grow closer to you, but also, Father, that a door might be opened up, that your word might be ministered to those who need it most. Bless their efforts, Father. Bless their work. We pray that in all things that you're glorified. We pray and ask as well, Father, that you'll help us to count our blessings, to truly be a people of gratitude, to take the time to really appreciate every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you so much, Father. Most of all, we're grateful for the forgiveness of sins that is available to us in Christ. Help us to live in view of eternity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Shall we pray? Our dear, gracious, most heavenly Father, we are so humbled, so grateful for all the blessings that you have and that you have given to us in our life. And Lord, at this time, we are so grateful for the 9 men and women that went to Honduras to serve. And Lord, help this be a good example to us to get outside of our comfort zone, to get outside of our air-conditioned lives, and to go seek and save those who need help. Lord, it is so true that to whom much is given, much is required, and you have given us more than we ever thought possible. Lord, open our eyes to see opportunities, not just in foreign lands, but in our own backyards, to seek, to serve, and to glorify you with everything that we say and do. Lord, give us boldness, give us strength, give us constant inspiration, and help us to always glorify you in everything that we say and do. Lord, we ask for the safety of them who are in Honduras, that they get back safely, and we ask that you bless their efforts and that you open roads, open hearts, and that you give them the boldness to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us and for this team. Father, these disciples that are in Honduras, I'd ask that you just that you keep them safe. Father, you continue to open their hearts, that you would open the hearts of the people there. We have no idea the level to which these people live and the things that we take for granted. Access to water and those simple things to us that we take for granted. We just thank you so much that you have given our family members here those skills and talents to go to those places, Father, and use those talents to spread your love and your compassion. Father, just continue to be with us, those of us who remain here, that we would constantly lift those up in prayer. Father, that all hearts may be open. That we may be pricked. And understand that the totality of your love for us. We thank you so much for your son and the life that he lived. And the story that we get the opportunity to tell to others. And Father, as they do that this week, like we prayed so many times, just please help the hearts be receptive to that message. Let their ears be able to hear and their hearts be able to understand. Keep them safe as they journey on through the medical care that is being given this week, Father. Help many good things to come. Bring them back to us safely. It's in your son's holy name that we can pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we continue our prayers this morning for that group and the work that they're doing. We would ask that you continue to watch over with them throughout this week to give them success in the physical duties and the chores that they've taken on. And that we most especially would ask for their success in the spiritual response that they might derive from those activities down there. We ask that you watch over them for their physical safety and their protection, and at the end of their work there that they would have a safe trip home. We'd ask that you be with us, that as we've talked about, that doors might be open for them and the doors might be open for us, and that we know there's a lot of physical poor in the world, and we know that there's much more spiritual poor in the world, and we would ask that when you open those doors in front of us, that we look out and see who is there and give them the needs that they have in their life and show them the truth and the things that they can do to follow you. We know that this is difficult. It truly is easier for some of us to do things physically and to make those trips. And we ask that you would be with those of us that may not have that particular ability, that we might see the seeds that we need to sow and that they might fall on good ground, that we'll be good farmers of that seed. We ask that everything that we do and say always be for your glory and not for ours. Forgive us when we're wrong. Give us the strength and courage and the knowledge to do what's right. In Christ's name, amen.
If you see a family member after service, whose family member is down there, give them a hug and let them know that you're praying for them at home as well. In the passage of Scripture that Brother Chad read to us in the beginning of our service, Jesus talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. There's a lot of people that are poor in spirit, that are destitute spiritually. You don't have to go far from here, as has been prayed, to find that. You might even find that in a pew where people come week in and week out who have never rendered their life to Jesus Christ. We give you that opportunity this morning as we sing the song of invitation. If you owe a duty to God and you've never become a Christian, why don't you obey the same gospel that is preached here and around the world? It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the good news. That's the message. Won't you come while we stand and sing?